What's Up Food Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, man. Hell yeah.
Or whatever you're doing today, man. Black Friday.
Shopping, resting. Thursday? Tonight? Hell yeah. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Now you heard it from the manager here. That's why I say happy Thanksgiving.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention. What's up, fool? What's up, everybody, man? A lot of people, you guys say, man, I didn't get a shout out last week. Bro, let me tell you, man. When we read your post, you got an honorable mention. Like, oh, man, this fool right here from I don't know where, who listens to the podcast. Actually, there was a guy who left a comment last week, recently. He listened to the Martin Rizzo episode.
The one that fool that was
hilarious.
Hell yeah, dog. The badass little stories, dog.
Hell yeah, man. I like the way he already cut up the best of the best for and put it on his page. There was no room for you in that screen, bro. He made himself taller. He added more laughter.
His buff, awful. Looking strong, man. Hell yeah, dude. It was bad to hear it from his perspective, too, dog.
Well, the funniest part about that interview was, bro, when we asked him for his age. And I said, no, bro, weren't you born in like 87, 88? No, man, Hollywood age, I'm born in 83. So what, you Phillips age now?
Oh, dude, I know, huh?
So everybody's trying to drop it down a notch, bro.
Well, because everybody's 30 now.
I'm trying to drop it a notch and wait. I'm really 271, but I tell people I'm 260.
Yeah, dog, that's fine. You can't really tell, 10-pound difference.
I'm as big as like a bench, 190.
245 plates on each side, dog.
Yeah, man, upcoming shows, people. What's Up Food Podcast. Welcome to the What's Up Food Podcast with Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man. Welcome.
We're right here, man. We're two fat guys wearing hoodies right now.
Trying to suck it up for the warmth, dog.
I know, man. It's like it's fat boy weather right now, huh?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, a lot of fat food bringing out the sweaters.
But we ain't that fat, though.
I know, but a lot of fat food bringing out the sweaters.
Sure, they brought out the sweaters in September, dog.
Man, sometimes I on Instagram, I look for stuff. Then I ended up somewhere, and last night I ended up with some guy from Brooklyn who, that fool sells fur coats, dog, out of the hood.
Of his car?
Fool, there's a video of him walking up to Mayweather after Mayweather passing by. I'm like, check out this fur, dog. Like, Mayweather likes it and buys it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You're right there in Vegas where we're at, dude?
Somewhere, dude, but they stopped on bodyguard. Hey, man, step back, man. Oh. I'm just trying to sell this fur.
Where'd you guys run into him at,
dude? I don't know, on Instagram.
Oh, fool, I thought I could lie.
I followed, I don't know, if I went from looking at someone's big ass to get there, but I don't know how Snoop Dogg. I was following Snoop Dogg. He took me somewhere exotic. Then I went over there, something weird and nasty. Then I made a stop at All Black Lives Matter for a while. Then I came back, you know, to the left. And I got to these guys who are hustlers, bro.
A mean journey in there.
And I got to through a video they had of them throwing money in a strip bar.
Okay.
That's how I got there. I was like, who is this guy? So I went. Dude, they sell fur coats. But not just fur coats, bro. Like, real horrible fur coats.
Like bad minks?
Well, actually, if you're into that style, like, remember, like, in the 90s, bro, when all the rappers wearing fur coats, what's the name, that group that Tupac was in with before it?
Digital Underground.
Digital Underground. So you Humpty fur coats.
Like the ones with the, like, trench coat and then the fur on top, yeah. Like the flap.
Fur liner.
On their hood.
Yeah, but now some of it looks good. You know, I'm vegan. You know, I ain't going to wear that. I ain't going to wear no fur. You know, like, unless it looks good, you know.
Dick.
Are they giving it to me? But it's their style of doing it. They look, bro, out of a cast of Beastmaster hip hop. But I started going through all their photos, you know. Some of these jackets are crazy, dog. Like, you know, some people wear a fur coat and they look like a fur coat. Wow, this fool had a leather jacket, and he just put the whole whatever that animal it was from that became that fur coat.
Elite.
He just posted it. He posted it in the back. He just sold it in the back. So the leather jacket had a sewn body of a whatever creature it was before it killed it.
Was a creature dog.
With the tail hanging, dog.
Shut up.
I'm not lying.
Watch it run away. Hey, and then, like, what's up? So he makes the leather jacket warmer, dog?
No, man, just adds a little fur to it, like, or, like...
A little flare.
You know how right now you have a hoodie on.
Right.
Imagine the hoodie with leather.
Okay.
And right here is your pockets where you put your hoodie in. That part is fur.
Oh, that's what he sells, like yeah. The newer style.
Yeah, and then the hoodie is fur.
It's fur, okay.
But sometimes the head is fur, but it still has the ears of the animal, dog. The real ears.
And where does he put the tail, fool?
It just hangs on. It hangs like a tuxedo tail.
I get what you're saying. Now they're like new style. I've seen those little
new style,
but for real. But he has real animal fur on the
real animal.
It's not fake cheetah print,
no, bro.
He's selling design.
He's selling it like the way Cat Williams selling on his page.
Damn,
for $2,000 a jacket. But there's a video for that. That fool runs up to Mayweather
and his little entourage.
The big ass fool. He pushes their butt. The way man got to check out these styles.
And homeboy goes to the car and checks him out, or he
no, man just puts him in his car. He's looking at it. He's selling dope to him, but he's selling fur coats.
Damn, dude, hustling like the dope game back.
And then all the hashtags were hustling, getting mine. Nobody's stopping me.
Blessed
fur coats. Get at me.
Get at me.
Only the best bitches.
Damn.
And that's how I got there. But horrible fur coats, bro.
I was gonna say,
that
was pretty good. Nah,
well, horrible. That style, that's, you know, they're probably saying, look at this guy, he's horrible too, wearing a 3-year-old Adidas. There's a lot of people that are into shoes that wouldn't even think of wearing the same shoe for a year.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. But that whole, I'm sure like what part of the little hip hop shit is what he's doing too. Cause that shit's changing too. Like rappers are wearing skinny jeans and shit now, and like fucking skater shoes.
Man, but some of these fools, man, with skinny jeans are wearing some of these fur coats. They're modeling it, bro. It looked like a sheep, bro. a sheep with two legs, dog.
Mary had a little lamb, man.
Fool, like skinny jeans, and this one had a big white fur coat. I said, man, that fool looked like a sheep.
Yeah, it's like a clash of style, right?
I'm just saying, like, I just went to the LA Zoo last night.
How was it, dog?
Man, a lot of that walking, dog.
Any silverbacks?
Man, let me tell you, man, if you ever walked to LA Zoo or walked anywhere with your parents where you're just going to watch stuff, man, that shit could get old after 25 minutes.
Especially if they're going
rides.
Those
kids being dragged in there, bro.
They didn't want to walk anymore?
They didn't want to walk anymore. Then, those fat-ass fools on the little carts, bro, the one for shopping.
Uh-huh.
No, the little shopping cart. You know, the little
with the basket
the
in
little
the front?
Scooter. Yeah. Watching animals like that, dog.
Like what, because they're too big to walk?
Too big to walk.
Damn, how fat were they, dog?
That should be a book. Too fat to go to a zoo. Like, you really are too fat to go watch caged animals.
Yeah, that's a hell of a psychology.
And
right
let me tell you, man, if you have bad ankle, I would recommend stretching before you go to the LA Zoo.
Like a month before.
Yeah, man, stretching. Touch your toes, man. Stretch out. Because there's a lot of walking, bro. But, man, and also read the signs before you go in. Because luckily I read the signs, so I won't be disappointed. It said,
don't they give you a map?
It says, due to the weather in Los Angeles, California right now, the coldness and the air, some of the animals might not want to come outside.
Which ones were they?
They might not want to come outside, you know, because they're used to warm weather, so they might be hiding out. No, and at the bottom it said, no refunds.
Oh.
So, man, the gorillas gave us their back. They were letting them know they were silver backs.
That was it?
The elephants were hidden, bro. Extinct. They couldn't
None.
Find them.
Lions?
None, bro. They were disappeared, bro. No lions, no bears.
Are
Tiger
you serious?
Tiger was sleeping in an igloo.
Those fools were in there dabbing, dog.
No polar bears.
Damn.
I saw what I could see out here, bro. I saw a parrot. If I want to see a parrot, I hang out with fucking Birdman.
A squirrel, dog.
I did see a squirrel in there, too.
Just cruising around?
No, they had them in a cage, bro.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Oh 20 God. Types of squirrels they had there, bro.
Damn.
If I want to see squirrel, bro, I hang out outside.
Right there by your house, right?
Yeah, man. You could tell, man, these gorillas or the giraffe, bro. There was a baby giraffe there, and now the big giraffe were covering it up so nobody could take photos of it.
Are you serious?
They must be tired, huh? People walking by all the time.
They noticed that shit, dude.
What? We got a phone call, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Cody. I'm calling for Jake Roberts for the interview.
Yes.
I was calling. We just now are getting out of his doctor's appointment. Can we call back in like 30, 40 minutes and do this?
Okay, yes.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
Perfect. I'll call you right back. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Cody.
Bye-bye.
What's up, everybody? There you go, man. We're expecting a call from Jake the Snake Roberts.
The legend himself.
He's just coming up from the hospital right now, man. They were checking his snake. That fool ate, I think the snake ate the intercontinental belt. So where were we at, bro?
The zoo, LA Zoo.
We were at the LA Zoo, man.
Gorillas gave you the back.
The gorilla gave her back, bro. There was a back chilling like ice chilling, bro. That fool laid out on a rock with the sun hitting him right in the face, dog. Just
some
laid
sun,
out, bro. Testicles hanging out.
Getting
just
some
being
rains.
A gorilla, bro. Then I saw these baby chimpanzees just running around, jumping, you know, being the monkeys. They were fun, but a lot of walking.
And how about fishes or like
fish?
They don't have any porpoises or anything?
Just no? You, bro.
Fucking porpoises.
No, bro, they had one porpoise, yeah.
I could have sworn I seen a big old fish there one time.
On the way in, you see like one
to the left, right?
Dog. Yeah,
that's what
it's
I'm saying.
Still there?
Oh,
it's a seal.
And like, did you guys see the snakes?
Yeah. Oh, but they have a light show, bro, at night.
You guys stayed?
Hell no!
I was like, damn, dude.
We got stuff to do.
You guys
but
got
imagine,
experience.
Bro, a light show walking around scaring these animals at night.
Dude, it's probably freaking them out, dog.
Bro, they even have rabbits.
You have a rabbit, dog.
I know, man. They have goats.
Are you serious?
They
this is a petting zoo?
Yeah, man, but they have a bunch of orangutans.
Oh, you see any?
The cages got smaller, bro.
Dude. But I'm surprised no koalas, dude?
No, they were not
there this time, bro. They were in Australia.
That would have been cool. Back home. The coolest thing I've seen there is when the lions roar. That was like, damn, those fools are loud.
Loud, huh?
Hell yeah, like fucking resonating. Big, huge. No comparison, dog. When they open it up. Fucking awesome.
Anyways. Yeah.
What's up, boo?
Right next to the giraffes is the lions, bro. So I'm just thinking right now, if they roar, that giraffe would be scared as shit, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. Ain't getting close to that fence.
You're probably looking over, man. You still in there? All right, people. Upcoming shows. December 10th through the 1st, one night only, Sacramento. What? All right, we'll cut that off. December 10th, one night only, Sacramento at Harlow Nightclub with Rodrigo Torres and Toby Hicks. January 5th through the 8th, Pleasanton, California at Tommy T's with Rodrigo and Toby. January 14th, Miami, Florida. At James Knight Center, I'll be a guest on the Mike Epps Tour. January 21st, Los Angeles, California, at the Novo in downtown LA, with Rodrigo hosting. January 27th, Atlanta, Georgia, Punchline, with Rodrigo and Toby. Yes, right, people, we're going to be at the Punchline, and we'll be chilling, and these fools are going to be eating desserts.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Can I plug a couple shows?
Go ahead, though.
I'm going to be with Edwin San Juan at Planet Hollywood.
Oh, shit.
November 28th through December 4th. And then Flappers Upland, Claremont, December 29th. Yeah, man.
So you're going to be where at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas with Edwin?
Yeah.
Have them lungs ready.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go out there, dude. So
cool. I used to be my co-sponsor right there.
Yeah, dude. Cheech and Chong.
So you're going to be at Planet Hollywood with him hosting or featuring? Awesome, bro.
So, yeah, dude. So, I'm kind of excited.
How about the Flappers show? Where's that at?
That's the 29th of December in Claremont. So, check flapperscomedy.com for tickets.
Also, people, I'm going to be on a show with Paul Rodriguez in January. Hopefully, it comes out. It's called the Get Down Tour, the comedy Get Down.
Okay. Hell
so
yeah.
So, I play a guy in Miami that takes him to a party with Nate Diaz, bro.
Oh, that's with George Lopez, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do that, and a lot of good things are popping up, bro.
Fuck yeah. You were just in Indiana, too, huh?
Yes, bro. That's
how was it, dog?
Me. Oh,
with
man.
With the legend himself.
Oh, with Paul Rodriguez, bro. Give me some Paul Rodriguez.
Hey, Felipe. It's a pleasure to see you, like always.
That fool is still funny as hell, bro.
Fuck yeah. That fool's tight, dog.
He had this joke, bro. He said that Obama came into the White House looking at Denzel Washington, bro. Came out looking at Morgan Freeman.
That's funny, dog. I busted that. I don't want to be all like that. We'll be looking like Uncle Ben now, but that's just tight, dog. From Denzel to Morgan Freeman. What's up with that fool?
We co headlined together, bro. It was awesome.
I heard it was a kick ass show, dog.
Oh man! As soon as I got there, bro, he kidnapped me and Gwen La Rocca. Shout out to Gwen La Rocca. You know Gwen.
Yeah, we met her at Joe's Bar
from Chicago. Shout out to Gwen.
Hell yeah, she's cool.
Jaime Martinez, he was on the show. The guys that booked it, Chris, and that fool that hooked me up with the VIP at the casino. Soon we get there, bro. George Lopez. My bad.
Hey,
I mistaken, bro.
Orale.
Not because they look alike, because they both hooked me up. Yeah, anyway, man. So Paul Rodriguez, we're there, dog. He takes us right away to the gambling, bro.
Yeah, bro?
We start hitting the slots hard.
Really? Like
hard, bro.
Was it the $100 ones or $10?
No, man. We started off at the fucking dollars.
Okay.
Then ended up at the pennies.
Moving on down.
Well, he was gambling like for before the show. And then we went to the other one, bro. God damn, bro. This guy's... Give us VIP to go to the other slot machines? God damn, bro.
Not everybody can go there?
No, not everybody should be looking in there, bro.
What happened, fool?
The slot machine started at $500.
God damn. And fool, are you serious?
It was a slot machine, bro, for $1,000, and you got to put 2 coins in.
Are you serious, dude?
So it's $2,000 a hit.
Oh, dude, the fool be balling in Indiana, huh?
Hell yeah, bro. You know, imagine, bro, even if you hit one, it pays only 200.
Only 2% return on your investment.
Man, sad. So after that, I got to go to the place that was VIP, dog. Oh, my God.
How was it, fool?
From right there, you can see all of Indiana.
Like the skyline view?
You can see Chicago. You know, you can see Chicago and Indiana on one side. But right there, they have people cutting you roast, bro, for food. Mashed potatoes.
Like that, with that one knife that cuts all perfect, the slices?
Being cut by that one guy who looked like a chef, but he ain't no chef.
Chef Boyardee.
Slicing him, bro. He's asking you. And I don't need meat, but he's asking you. You want, it was cut 3 different ways. That's they cut roast beef, I guess. He had the middle part where that was kind of rare, medium rare. Then the other part that was well cooked. So he'll give you like a pink part and then a bunch of pink. Then he'll cut the middle part and then the crunchy part, he'll put it right on top. So when you slice it.
All three.
Yeah, so when you slice it, when you're eating it, you're getting like a meat sandwich of medium rare on the bottom, then rare in the middle, and then the overcooked on top, so it's like a crunchy meat.
The best of 3 flavors, dude. That's how you do it.
Cállate, without juice.
I've never had it like that, but I've just had it at the buffet, the cheap kind.
Juice.
And they pour it over it? Damn, dude.
Yeah, man. I was just watching. I didn't get none of that shit.
Uh-huh.
I ended up going to Chicago Diner, bro.
That same night?
No, when as soon as I got there, I traveled with my backpack full.
That was it?
That was it, bro. Just a backpack on Southwest.
And when you went there first, the Chicago Diner? Because you landed in Chi-Town, right?
As soon as I got there, bro, I walked, you know, you walk through the little tunnel to the airline.
Mm-hmm.
When you come out of the plane, right there, bro, I was already freezing my ass off.
Oh, so it was already that cold over
there? Well, I was only sweats.
No thermals, dog.
No thermals. Well, save my life. I had that cheap ass scarf I bought in New York. The one for Ali Starbs, the fucking American flag one.
Yeah.
But it saved my life.
That shit comes in handy, dog.
Plus the hair, fool. So I'm thinking, okay, I ain't gonna need much, you know. I'm gonna survive this, you know. So I go outside just to see what it feels like. Cállate, güey. Fool.
Que paleta over
God,
here.
It was cold. It was cold. It was 39.
Oh, that's cold, though.
It was cold.
That's at least 30 degrees, cold. 40 than here.
I got in that Uber car, and I started changing there, bro. Like
I can't imagine. Like
the fucking Hulk. I started opening up my backpack to see what's warm.
Look at crime fighter over here.
I had a sweater that showed a V-neck, dog. So I put the V-neck and then the hoodie. Then I made myself a little scarf. I'm ready, dog. I went to a Chicago Diner, bro. Like I ate. And I went back to Indiana. Kicked it for a little while. What's up? How are you, man?
What's up, man?
How are you? What you brought? So I get a ride back. I go to Indiana and I do the show with Paul.
Okay.
Cool show. And I run into Carlos Loma, bro.
And Gracie, right?
And Gracie. And I'm like, what the hell they're doing here? But it was cool, man, you know, to see people from the hood that you grew, that you saw, man, you know. Uh-huh. Now you feel like, yeah, man, we got this. We got four people from LA. It's over. And I did a little interview about addiction, you know, and because I didn't even, some girl did an interview with me about addiction and how I got here to be a comedian. So I got to tell that story again. How,
whatever led up to today?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I told him the story again about Father Greg Boyle. Before it was homeboy industry, it was called Jobs for the Future.
Visionary, though.
Sorry. Yeah, it was Jobs for the Future, bro. So, yeah, so we did that. Man, I went back to, I was staying in Hyde Park in Chicago.
Okay.
So as soon as I got there, I was already won, fool. Man, I just put on my hood and I fell asleep and I got up 6 hours later and I'm back.
And just shot back?
Back.
Where did you shoot out from, O'Hare or Midway?
Midway. And right. I was lucky because Southwest. I think O'Hare is going to have a strike, bro.
That's what I seen too, dog.
I would have been stuck there.
Hell yeah, dude. So it all, you were in and out, dog.
In and out.
Like a little bullet, dog.
I saw, when I saw them there, Carlos Loma and them.
Gracie, uh-huh.
I said, what's up, man? I got the green room right here. Llegale. They started eating.
I'm probably all hungry, huh?
We took photos.
Hell yeah, dude. They were all happy, dog. Yeah, Felipe hooked it up.
I told him when I took Paul Rodriguez, he's called a Loma, man. This guy the one that kicked the devil.
He's not the only one that kicked the
devil. But Paul didn't know, right? He Paul Rodriguez didn't know who the devil. And then Paul told me, he goes, man, we're talking. He goes, man, yeah, Willie Marcella walked up to me. He goes, and what did he do? Nothing. He just mugged me. Smugged me like I did him something or something. Huh? He snubbed me.
Really?
You know, like, really.
Why?
Hey, man. Hey, man. What am I? What are the demons? So what's up, fool? We have a guest today.
Yeah. The guest, Mr. Richard Cabral.
I wrote it down to remember.
Oh, right here.
Because I met him the first time when I was invited to do this. This man, it was like out of the blue. I had a publicist at the time, uh-huh. I was with a different agent, and they would send me the crazy stuff. Sometimes to go get free gifts at places. I would just stand there with like a plant, and they give it to me.
The children's hospital.
Then somebody was carrying a bag for me with all free stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then like, and I got some cool stuff like M&Ms, you know, and a gift certificate to Rubio's. But then the second time I went there, bro, they were giving out crap, bro.
Like what, bro?
Eric Estrada was there, so I knew there was nothing good.
He ate all the chips.
There was nothing good, bro. But Eric Estrada was happy, bro, with crema and shit.
Wasn't that fool doing commercials for them? Right,
he was selling real estate, bro.
He was selling
houses in Boyle Heights. Anyways, bro. So I met him at the Oil Awards.
Oh, okay.
At the LA Times.
Yeah.
He was there, man. Rich Cabral was reading a poem that he wrote, and he did like a little tiny testimony. And also, he was there. A lot of Latinos were there that are kind of big now, bro. You know, not to say just me, bro. But also, Cheech Marin was there. Gina from The Virgin was there. Two the actresses Virgin? From East Los Highs was there, and okay. Sitting down.
Cool.
That lady that plays the Italian woman from The Sopranos when they go to Italy.
She was there?
Yeah. Yeah, she was in CSI Miami.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
And, that show. And this boxer, man, was, I don't know his name, Ortiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there too. So we ran into him, bro. And I remember when he went up there, he said, I'm from Homeboy Industry. And I said, hell yeah, bro.
Hell yeah, dude.
Because I remember when I won Last Comic Standing, I donated my money to, all my money. You know,
that was one of the charities that you did.
Yeah, somebody went to child support, eh?
They got to get their money too, dog.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, man. It's not. Don't believe everything you see on television, or TMZ, man. They're all lies, eh?
Wikipedia.
Everybody thinks, you're rich, hot dog. Break bread.
Break bread.
Like right away, man, when I won Last Comic Standing, an old homie of mine, man, some fool that helped me jump some fool. That fool wanted 10 G's, dog.
And that's it.
To pay his rent.
But where do you live? On the Palisades?
You move to a different real estate, bro. Move to over there by Eastern. Moved to over there by Easter Lake. I got this, bro. It's tax free zone over there. Anyways, move somewhere where Trump is, dog. I don't know. But yeah, man, bro. And I started thinking about, did he help me with somebody? And you start going through your whole life. I started going through my 12 steps again, bro. Do I owe an apology?
Dude, but it's not worth $10,000, dude. Get out of here.
And I was waiting for a just kidding, you know? Or I just want free tickets.
Oh, no good. No
I'm
good
really proud of you, homie. Yeah.
Damn.
Nah,
dude.
Bro. He was serious, probably. If you're listening to, bro, man, sorry, bro, but you know what? I didn't make that much money. Oh, my God. It was an iPad, bro.
You work for everything.
And
you
I can't
got,
even
dog.
Download the new YouTube no more. It's outdated.
No iOS.
So, what's up, fool? Welcome to our What's Up, Fool podcast.
Yeah,
Richard
man.
Cabral.
Welcome, bro.
It's good to be here, man. Yeah, just thank you for having me.
Oh, man, we were trying to get you for about a year, bro.
Yeah, dog.
Then we were turning our phone calls. They said, who is this guy? And what happened when you have a publicist, bro? They don't know what's up. So then we saw you on Chingo Bleeth podcast. Wait a minute here, man.
Yeah.
He's doing that podcast?
No, I mean, it just...
So then Chingo Bleeth gave me your number.
Yeah, yeah. That's just, I mean, sometimes just get to, it's good to get direct. You know what I'm saying? We get these agents and these publicists and these managers, and it gets funky sometimes, you know? Just, you know, holler at a homie. That's all you had to do.
I know, man. Like,
hell yeah, dude.
I left a couple of messages on your page too, man, but then I started thinking about, wait a minute, this looks like one of those other messages, man. Yo, man, you wanna buy some beats? You wanna make some $10,000 by tomorrow? Yeah, man. So where did you grow up at, East LA?
Yeah, well, my family came, migrated from Mexico, and they landed in Boyle Heights, you know, from the projects.
What projects?
On Estrada.
Órale, I grew up in Pico Aliso.
Yeah, out there on off of Olympic and Soto and all that. So then, you know, I mean, at that time, when you make money, Mexicanos know that when you're moving on up, then you move to the other east side, Montebello.
Yeah.
You know, so we migrate. You know, you're doing big things if you move to, like, Pico Rivera, Montebello, Whittier, Norwalk area.
Hell yeah, man. You know you made it, bro, when you live in Yorba Linda.
Got a tennis court in the backyard.
Chale, bro. Yeah. He lives in La Puerta now, bro. Órale, by IKEA.
Yeah, so that's what it was, man. East LA, Montebello, Boyle Heights, that whole area.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what got you... So what were you doing as a kid? So you grew up in LA and Montebello, or both sides?
Both sides, bro. You know, just both sides. But a broken home. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether it's a broken home in Boyle Heights, whether it's a broken home in Pico Union. You know, the community, South Central. You know, I moved around a little bit, but it was a broken home, bro. You know, and you do what a broken home and a broken community gives you. You know, that's what you do.
How did you get caught up, man? Like, I remember when I was a kid, man, growing up, you know, Pico Gardens, there was a lot of people selling PCP. Mm. But I never did that stuff, you know, or heroin. I never did that stuff. I thought that was for losers, bro.
That's how you grow up.
I know, but they were crack him along. I said, well, you don't think that bad.
Shit's new and different, dog. It's not the traditional
and then,
shit.
The older veteranos, they were looking at us like we were losers, bro. Like, oh, bro, that's the devil, homie.
The guys that were doing PCP.
But they're
all...
But they're slamming, right?
But they're slamming, bro.
It's crazy.
They were looking at now, homie, chale, bro.
Yeah, nodding out. Yeah, chale, nodding out.
They're nodding out and shit, catching AIDS.
Sharing needles, right?
But they're telling me not to be a dirt devil, bro. Not to look at the carpet, bro, for more drugs. That's the sad thing about it. I always tell, we have a lot of listeners on our show who are going through drug addiction.
Mm.
And me, I went through drug addiction. I've been sober since 2009. I don't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't drank no alcohol, man. I have some people drink alcohol, man, and just go about their day. Like, I just have a wine. I just have a wine to start off the day.
Get a little clink.
Man. If I start with wine, by 5 o'clock, I'm going to start leaving hidden comments on people's pages. Hey, bro, you watching Scarface? So you were caught up in drugs, too?
Yeah, yeah. This is the whole thing. You know, it's the same story. Started, you know, my family's been involved in gangs since the 1970s, you know,
yeah,
in Boyle Heights, you know, from the Estrada courts. And just that, drugs, you know, broken home, broken community. And I too, my dad left And it's really like it's very simple. You know, you grow up in these dysfunctional communities, bro, and you're going to become what you're going to become. It's not rocket science, homie. You grow up where everybody is doing drugs, where your school is broken, where your everything is just there for you to fail, bro. And so I started going to jail at 13, you know, started getting involved in drugs in and out, you know, joined the hood. And it was on and popping, bro. You know, my whole youth was pretty much in institutions, and I finally went to prison at 20 years old for attempted murder. That was my transition, my gang life.
When you were locked up at 13 years old, because I know, man, when I was caught shoplifting, bro, the first time when I was like 10 or 12, man, I was shooting bricks, dog. Yeah, but how did you feel? Were you scared the first time?
I mean, the thing or, is, or like, you just, no, every, you homies you, to- yeah, yeah, you know this shit's gonna come, bro. You know what I'm saying? All your uncles have been in jail. All the homies have been in jail. Like, you feel that you're scared, but subconsciously, bro, you've been working yourself up to this. You know, our graduation was not fraternities, homie. Our graduation was the pin. And it's just that, you know, it's a gradual process. Juvenile hall, camp, county prison, you know? So it's like, it's your initiation.
He ain't lying, bro. When I was in rehab, a lot of the guys that were there, like veteranos, they always say when they were locked up in YA, they would call it, oh, that was just gladiator school.
Gladiator, yup. Real, yeah.
Because you were learning there how to defend yourself in prison. Right. It was like every level was a learning process.
Right.
I saw some fool become institutionalized their whole life.
Yeah.
Point on.
Yeah.
Like my brother, bro. That fool's been locked up at every place he smoked crack in. Now he's in Mexico, bro.
Wow.
Talking about why did Trump win?
Why did he win?
I guess I'm going to help build that wall. If you don't talk about that, I'm going to build that wall. Let me tell you, man. I've been to a lot of places near the border. There's a wall there already, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Like El Paso, there's a wall already.
Dude, with barbed wire and all that shit, dude.
Like, if you want to hit somebody with one of those shirt launchers from Chico's Tacos.
Oh, Paisa put his leg in there. Let's go.
So, man, when you were a kid, man, that you, like, besides, like, everybody had a, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a comedian, man, but somehow along the way, you know, you get sidetracked because not everybody, like you said, he grew up with just gangsters. Not everybody in your family like looks at that like a decent thing to do, like get into be a comedian.
Career or
not. Ser payaso, cabrón.
Yeah.
Like, so your dad doesn't get it, bro. So that food just crushes your dream.
Without him knowing,
bro, just because you're scared to do it, bitch.
Right. Yeah, because it's no option.
You don't have balls.
I mean, it's not an option for them, or they're like, you know.
But then my dad, dog, I found out later on, bro, like, you start sobering up, you know, like, you start getting with your feelings. My dad said that for wanted to be a weatherman, bro.
But he probably never knew how to get in there or whatever.
Yeah.
People say, like, you know, like, Hispanics or Latinos or whatever say, yeah, your family has to be in show business and all that shit. No right. Fucking outlet. How the fuck are you going to crawl up in there?
Like, he thinks that you could just co-sign your way everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Like, hey, bro, get me in movies, bro. You know Richard Cabrera. Te pongo un co-sign, bro.
I thought you knew Paul Rodriguez.
Tú también estás feo, cabrón. Dígale. Like, for real, like, you just can't get in there, man, you know, right away.
Hell no.
So how did you get into, What made you like change your life finally and just stop?
So I was I fought that life sentence. You know, they're trying to give me 35 years to life for that attempted murder, and I was 20 years old. And through the grace of, you know, the higher being, through God, like I ended up getting 5 years in prison. So I got out when I was 25, and I didn't know what I was gonna do. My whole life I had been institutionalized. My son was already 5, and so that was definitely like the bulb. You know, I didn't know what the hell I was gonna do. And I mean, thank God for Homeboys and for Father Greg, and that's where I ended up, bro. And that was like the seed that kind of just opened me up, you know.
So you were working in the bakery.
I was working in the bakery.
Yeah. I read somewhere you went in there, bro, like a true Mexicano, bro. Like, you know, con las ganas de hacer algo. Like, whatever you have,
great,
bro.
Right?
Whatever you have, bro. You're going to sweep, I'll sweep.
Yeah, like, you had a job and you were doing your fucking job, whatever it took.
Whatever it was.
You're going to dust the pans, I'll dust the pans.
Yeah. Dishwasher, started as a janitorial. Like, it was that. Like, I'll start, you know, we work, homie. We work.
Hell yeah. I have a quick question for you, dude. Yeah. Who helped you fight that case? Was it?
I had a state appointed because it was a high case, so they didn't give me a public defender. It got shot because it was gang allegations, so they gave me a state appointed.
an enhancement or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah, they had it.
Do you think that's the reason why you wanted to post you getting a public defender?
It just depends, bro. I mean the system, the law system, it's just a gamble. You don't know what you're going to get. Because
most
know?
Fools plead out and they'll just take the 25.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the week before, they tried to offer me 13 and I knew I had, like the week before, and I was like, nah, let's go to trial. And the day before trial, they finally said, all right, we'll come at you with 5 years, three for gang allegations and two for the grave bodily injury. And I jumped on five.
Oh, so they gave you, in the day before they gave you five.
They offered me five, and then I took it.
Damn, because, yeah, they won't try a case unless they can win, but most times, I mean, people don't fight them, dude.
Yeah,
so that's fucking,
yeah.
It's fucking cool, man.
I know, man, because when you get the public defender, man, they settle that deal at IHOP, bro.
It's so
They're in the elevator, bro, with all your notes. They don't even know your name.
Yeah, they got coffee on your face.
Yeah. They're coffee, hey, man.
It's so true they don't know your name.
They see the attorney there, and the guy, the city attorney, probably a big shot, you know, goes, hey, Jim. You gonna fight this? Come on, let it go, man. Tell the guy to plead the fifth.
Hell yeah.
Plead the five. You're gonna fight a 10, man. Right now, we're looking at 30. We don't have time for that. That costs $1 million.
Totally, dude. And then fucking
you said a trial costs $1 million, right?
A murder trial costs about $1 million in the state of California, dude.
And they said, that won't be the number one draft pick.
But that's awesome that you fought it, dude, and it fucking turned out to that, because 25 opposed to 5 is a long fucking time.
35.
There you go,
dog. Yeah. And I ended up going on talking to a prison a couple months back, a high desert, and there was a guy that had the same case as me, and he got 13 years. The same circumstances, you know, and the guy didn't die. Shit happened, you know. Shit happens in the hood. Guy got shot, and they gave him 13 years. So there was men that were getting my sentences. And,
oh, yeah, dude.
That's crazy. Yeah, crazy.
That's justice, huh?
Fucked up. I don't know. Sorry.
It's cool, dude. Yeah. It's not PG, but
so
hell
then,
yeah,
from all that, right away when you beat the case, that you right away at that moment, it's like, man, something gotta change.
Got a second chance.
Did you feel like rock bottom?
And then going to prison, you know, going to a high security prison up in Ironwood.
You were 20, huh?
I was 21 when I finally hit the yard and going
into Iowa.
Ironwood.
Ironwood.
Up in Blythe, California. And then I started at Tehachapi, legendary Tehachapi, Ironwood. And, you know, there was homies that had been down there 20 years, 25 years, bro. Like, I remember being on the yard for 2 weeks. And I'm little. I'm 20. You know, I'm not like a 30-year-old man yet. And, like, and the yard goes down and we look and there's these two homies just stabbing the shit out of somebody on their neck. And you're just like, fuck, like, this shit is real, homie. Like, I'm here, and then the gunners, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's real, bro, you know? Like, that shit's fucked up. Like, I didn't want to live my life like that. Who wants to be – it's fear, homie. So it was that type of shit, you know, just seeing the reality of the situation.
Anybody who says they have no fear, they're lying, huh?
Fools are just fronting, dog.
Yeah.
It just happened like that, huh, blink of an eye?
That's it, bro.
Crazy, man.
No questions asked, dog.
Yeah. I'm fighting this case.
Shit. You have to take
that shit to the Supreme Court. Take that shit to Trump, man. Before Obama leaves, tell him to let it go.
Pardon my ass.
Pardon me. Give me a freedom belt.
Oh, dude. Shit is real, dog.
And did you already know Father Greg at the time?
Nah, but I had a couple homies working there. So as you know, growing up in the hood, like if you're from a real neighborhood in Los Angeles, you have somebody somehow has been connected to Homeboys and Father Greg, because Father Greg's been doing the work in Los Angeles for almost 30 years. So I had homeboys there. I had a couple homeboys right there. So that's how it started.
A word on the street.
Yeah, word on the street was, you know, the homies were there and he could get you in. But I didn't want to go, bro. I didn't want to go. I was like, nah, fuck that. Like, I don't want to be a... I didn't.
I don't want to cook bread with enemies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ah, this food.
I was just trying to shoot this food. Now he's telling me how to break eggs.
Punking me in the fucking kitchen.
Yeah, it was
some
bad,
of these fools were still gangbanging.
Yeah.
I remember when I did a comedy show there, man. I remember I was trying to get a job at home. I was trying to get a job at Homeboy Industry, and they told me, you ever been shot? No. Sorry, can't work here. So I took somebody to break my legs, but came in with crutches. They gave me the keys to the van. Yeah, we have Father Greg on the show too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so it's hard, bro. Like, it's just a big change, bro. He's coming from what, five generations of nothing but cholos, you know?
Yeah.
And now he's trying to break it, bro, the mold.
That cycle.
It's always big, big, big heartbreak, bro, when you go through a big change like that.
Fucking major, dude.
You have to butter up, bro. So you have to toughen up, huh?
Definitely.
Be a man. Oh, man. How can you do that, bro?
I know, man.
There's comedians I can't even be in the same comedy show with. Yeah, so you went in there, and how did you go by your day when you were in the – well, so when you went inside to work there – because I remember when I was in rehab, a lot of the guys that were in rehab, and they would see fools that they didn't get along with, but to just deal with it, you know, like
right.
They have a program in their head, I'm going to get through this. Kind of like they use their prison mentality in the rehab just to get by.
Right.
Did you do that at Homeboy working there?
Definitely, and I just think, like, I'm free, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing that can make this life worse than when it was.
Hell yeah.
That, good outlook, dude.
The worst, yeah. Somebody's going to get hit by a pan.
Yeah, man, so it was that mentality that pushed me through, man.
Hell yeah, man. I have a couple of friends that worked there, man, that I went to elementary school with. Some guy named Jesus Covarrubias. I don't know his real, what they call him now, but.
An honorable mention.
Yeah, bro. What's up, fool? That fool's a badass fool in Little League, dog.
Yeah, he's a star, dog.
A lot of those fools that I grew up with were bad at Little League. Were you good at Little League? Like in sports?
I did sports, but I wasn't like, yeah.
Nah, man, that shit. Fool that was at Homeboy, man. That fool, the catcher.
Yeah, he was badass. Like Johnny Bench.
They're all from East LA, bro.
All Project Boys.
Yeah.
All from the Project.
All from the Project, bro. The fool played Chaco football and cement.
Damn.
Project ain't got no grass, huh?
They got no grass, dog.
Running on the cement like a deer.
Those fools didn't even know about cleats. They're playing with cleats and a cement. Sparking. So, I know when I got out of rehab and I wanted to get my mind off, you know, not doing drugs. Like, how could I do that, you know? And that was one of the things I was talking about on that interview I did with that woman in Chicago about addiction was that the first time I had $20 that I didn't jack from somebody or I didn't borrow or stole something to get it or I never had $20 sober, put it that way, because I was always using drugs or hanging out. So for me, $20 was always a 40-ouncer, two cigarettes from the store, you know, for 25 cents. And then the rest 10 to come up somewhere, you know?
So you already had it planned out.
I had to, my whole life had to change, man. Did you feel like your whole life had to change?
Oh, definitely.
Your whole way of thinking, you know? Yeah. You can't bring the old thinking back. Like Father Greg had one of those speeches one time that, you know, you can't change, you could change your environment, you can change your environment and all that. You don't have to change your environment, just change your way you think about stuff in your environment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you find that hard?
Yeah, definitely, because the hardest thing is rewiring. You know what I'm saying?
You have to rewire it, dog.
You have to like
program that
like,
computer.
Get out the matrix.
Definitely, and I think I believe a lot of people, their biggest problem is they don't want to accept the lie, homie. How in the fuck am I going to accept that the way I've been living for the last 20, 25 years, 30 years was a fucking lie? Right?
Right, man.
That shit is that's
preach.
A hard pill to swallow.
That's what you got to deal with,
hell
man.
Yeah.
But until that, you're not going to break through. You know, you're not going to surrender. A biggest thing I think, I didn't come from the NAAA. I was institutionalized, so that's how I got over drugs. But it was like you have to surrender. If you don't surrender to the fact that it was a lie, then you're not going to really heal. You know what I'm saying? And like you see these veteranos, these older homies, and they're still trying to believe this fucking way for like 30, 40, 50 years. And it's sad, homie, you know? But that was the thing. Like I had to just reprogram myself and understand like that placazo, that name and everything that I had been living was a lie. And that's where I started from.
Hell yeah, man.
Like a rebirth, huh?
It is. Yeah. I didn't always look like a hipster.
This fool, dog.
Only when I was on the run.
Awesome, yeah. On 3 days, right? That's on a binge. I was only when I was on a binge.
Little bender.
I remember a lot of the homies, like when they were already on the run and they missed court. And they were looking for them already.
The fools would shit.
The fool who's looking like fucking like Forrest Gump walking around the neighborhood, dog.
Yeah.
And there was this fool had a fucking hat, dog.
The disguise.
His shirt's tucked in. Like, who's this nerd here, man? Oh, that's that killer, dog.
Yeah.
He's trying to lay low. You have to change, bro. Because you can't be looking like a crazy motherfucker with a bald head all the time.
Yeah.
You get pulled over a lot.
Right.
And it's what are you saying? Like, even the older veterans are still trying to push that 30-year-old shit.
Yeah, they don't accept. They don't accept
that fucking
homie.
Capsule.
Yeah, and you're struggling. You know, I believe, and this is a whole different conversation, but that we're supposed to evolve. You know what I'm saying? Nothing stays the same.
No,
nothing
right,
has ever stayed the same. But you're trying to fight against that, and that's you struggle. You know, so that was my way I went about it. You know, and I'm continuing.
That's how I was like, man. When I fell off the wagon, bro, I started doing drugs again.
Uh-huh.
And I went back to smoking crack as a comedian. Bro, it was hard to go back, like he said, to change, to go back to not drinking drugs. Because I felt like, man, this is a good life I'm having here, man.
Because you're having fun.
I'm doing comedy shows.
Yeah.
But it gets old after a while.
But at the same time, it's destructive.
But that shit's easy. To go back to what you know, to drink. Anybody could drink. Anybody could smoke. Anybody could, you know what I'm saying, be in the streets all day. But to do this, get up every day and to work and to try to evolve your skill, like, that shit's hard, bro. To challenge yourself every day, homie. That shit's hard. That shit's easy to be in the hood.
Challenge yourself, bro.
Every day.
I know, man. When I go back to the hood, Some of the fools are like 42 already. They're still killing
the same
corner.
Doing the same shit.
But now they end the conversation with, mijo, you have a dollar, homie.
Like, they're like that much older than you now.
But the veterano, when I was a kid, they would say, orale, mijo, tres una cuota.
Still jacking your ass, dog.
Fools still getting GR.
Yeah.
You're right about evolving, because I keep telling Rodrigo when I did that show and for the homeboy industry right there. And Father Greg was there, and I was trying to invite some of them to my show. Mm. My brother, too, he was there, right? And then my brother, one of those same fools, bro, nah, man, bro, I gotta get on the 101 North. Like, these fools don't get any shit with North in it.
You gotta stay within their vicinity, dog.
Like, he didn't want to leave somewhere and be different, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Not a safe zone. That shit's scary, homie. That shit's scary.
They're used to the same village, you know?
Yeah. And it's crazy, like, you, and then you get in a gang, like, before you go to prison, you're already wired to go to stay in prison. You put yourself in this box, so you're already in prison. The projects are prison. And then you just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
represent over there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm stuck right here. And so it's fucked up, bro.
I know, man. There's comedians, I feel that way about them, bro. It's 20 years, bro. Stop being trying to be a comedy, bro. Let it go. You're not funny.
He's gonna get a puppet.
No, a lot of listeners. We have a lot of listeners, bro. We have listeners in Ireland. Shout out to the homie over there.
Glenn Carlin, dude.
Glenn Carlin. And our lady in Amsterdam.
Cleo,
Miss Cleo.
Talk to Cleo.
And then our Aussie friend. A few Australian friends.
Yeah, man.
But most of our listeners from LA. What's up, fool?
Fuck yeah, dude.
So, that's awesome, man. When I saw you at that thing, I said, man, this fool right here. He busted out that poem, and you remember my brother, bro. Mm. The same look, you know. Except my brother hadn't stopped.
Angel.
Angel, dog, and he did that very powerful poem. And then I saw you on TV. I saw you in the movie. I said, "Hell yeah, this homie's doing it."
That's what's up, dog.
Doing it. I felt so proud, man. And it felt good, man. Because I'm trying to be a stand-up comic, you know. I am a stand-up comic, but to see somebody like. I feel like it's like I felt like in Goodfellas right before they killed Joe Pesci, though. Just imagine if they don't kill him.
Oh, dude.
Robert De Niro thought he was gonna get in, bro, because he was getting in.
Both those
like fools. He wasn't hating on him. That's what I felt when I saw you. I said, "Hell yeah, man!" I was like, it felt like good. Like I felt like, yeah, man.
You see,
I felt like I was a part of it, bro. Because you know, I know where you're coming from. I know he went to Homeboy Industry. I know Father Greg Boyle. I feel like, yeah, man, we did it.
Yeah,
man, it made me feel good, man.
Yeah, thank you, bro.
Then you start growing your hair long. I said, yeah, man, he looked like my son. And a lot of people were hitting me up because we had a show called Cholos, Where Are You Now?
Mm.
And we had Emilio Rivera on the show.
Yeah.
And then I said, people love that interview because Emilio Rivera was crazy. And he stopped drinking also. And
he's sober.
And a lot of people were hitting us up. Get Richard Cabral on the show. Get Richard Cabral on the show. So we got you on the show, Doc.
Yeah, well, thank you guys.
Yeah,
how did you get started to acting, though?
Homeboys, man. I was right there working in the bakery.
And you fight cholos with no warrants.
That was it. But
they
needed cholos. They needed homies. And they invited us, and like 10 of us went to Warner Brothers Studio, all on parole, all bald, all tatted up. Southland. It was a TV show, Southland.
It's like what, like 2010, huh?
That was on the back of their that was on the back of their 8x10, bro. The criminal record.
You guys went to go audition over there?
We went. They invited us, bro, and we didn't. And like we stepped on the Warner Brothers lot, you know, and we were just mind blown. And we walked to casting director John Levy. He like legendary John Emmy winner John Levy, casting director, and we went in there, and that shit was so. We were all nervous though, bro. I remember being really nervous in that audition, and they were just like, "Be easy, man. Just be cool," you know. And I remember like, "Fuck, like this shit." Because the thing is, the only time I've been around white people. Is like when they were gonna send me, you know, in court.
Me too, man. The cops
in court,
and
homie. Like that's the only time I had my whole life. I had been around white people. There's three white people around me, you know, and like just subconsciously, I was just nervous, homie. So they were like, just do it, Richard. Just speak from the heart, and I did it. And like four of us, they called us back, and they're all, congratulations, you got the part.
What?
And that was it. You know, that was my initiation into the Hollywood world. And the money that I made for that was like three times than homeboys, you know? So, you know, and just seeing Danny Trejo and Emilio, and especially Danny and Emilio, you know, and just like, I didn't know them at that time, but like if they could do it, you know what I'm saying? Like that was a seat, then, you know, then why not me? And that's how we started.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
It's a fucking cool ass story, dude.
Three times more than Homeboy Bakery.
You know?
You're gonna be in movies now, dog? Yeah, we need more eggs, bro. It was tough. I read that you were leaving home, you were working at Homeboy, still sweeping and polishing the pots and pans, and then after that, going to the set.
Yeah. Yeah. It
was
that
determination.
It was that. Like they would work with me, and like, hey, you know, hey guys, I only could be here a half day. I got a gig. All right, cool. You know, do your thing. And out of the 10 of us, like I'm the only one that, like, that really seen something in it. And I told all the guys, hey, man, we could do this. This could really be something. And like all the homies were like, ah, yeah, whatever, you know. And I'm the only one that went to acting class, and it's fucked up to say, like, a lot of them homies that started with me end up getting life or end up dying, you know, and like, and that's really how it went down. Like, I'm the only one that I told Father Greg, hey, Father G, like, I want to go to acting class, you know, and he helped me out. He paid for my tuition, and then me going to acting class kind of opened the doors to like, bam, like where I'm at today, you know.
Oh, we got a phone call from Jake the Snake Roberts, a wrestler, bro.
Shut
the end of line.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah, homie.
Put on your headphones.
You know
you
like
listen.
Wrestling, right? Yeah. And he's recovering also.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He's having a show on
this
Sunday.
Crazy.
This shit. What's up, fool?
Are you ready?
We're ready.
All right, I'll get Jake. Hold on 1 second.
You like wrestling, right?
Yeah, man, that's legendary Jake, man. The big old anaconda. Right? He used to have that stick.
Yeah, fool. Snakeskin boots.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to our show, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing good, sir. How you doing, sir?
Real good.
Oh, wonderful, man. Out in Vegas, enjoying the day, and getting ready for Turkey Day. So I got to get my grill ready to do some smoked turkey tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be you're doing a comedy show this weekend at Flappers. What is that about?
Oh, God, you know, I don't call it a comedy show because I don't do comedy. But all I do is tell you road stories and locker room stories, strip joint stories, crazy stuff that happened in the cars or
awesome.
Whatever. And that's pretty amazing stuff, I must say, you know. And I touch bases on a bunch of the old guys, you know, whether it be Andre the Giant or Hacksaw Jim Duggan or Ultimate Warrior or Undertaker. All these guys are involved in some of these antics we pulled with each other back in the day. And it's just a great time. It really is. My opener, Alex Kool-Aid Anzel, he's a real comedian, and he is just knocking it out of the ballpark. You know, I keep telling him, I said, the first time these people start chanting your name to come back out, I'm going to kill you. Take care of that, you know. You'll be getting the chop. know. So we have a good time with this. We really do. And we appreciate everything. The fans are really with it. And, you know, I like to take time to meet them. I do talk about it. Addiction and alcoholism during the show, because I've struggled with that for years, and you know, it's not fun, man, but I'll tell you, I've been to jails and rehabs, and I never met anybody in either place that said, gee, when I was a kid, I wanted to grow up and be just that, a drug addict or an alcoholic. No, nobody dreams of it, but it does happen. So we like to talk about it, so, and if anybody's struggling, I'm more than glad to stay after the show and sit down with them and talk to them about what I did and what I'm doing to try to keep that boat afloat. But it's not something that you get away from, man.
Well, it's so amazing that you called us, because we have an actor here who's also went through addiction, and now he's on support. He got nominated for an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor. We have Richard Cabral right here. Hey, a big fan of you, too.
Yeah, and,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here with you, Jake. And I, you know, I grew up as your fan. You know, I watching you as a young kid. So it's a great honor to be on the line with you today.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm just glad to still be around. The odds were that I wasn't going
to
be.
You know, it's funny, Jake. Growing up, I wanted to be Jake the Snake Roberts, and I ended up being Jake the Snake Roberts. Without fighting
like
on the
Jake,
ring,
I have a hard time doing it.
I ended up being you, sir, but without a wrestling career.
Or a snake.
Or a snake.
There you go. There you go, man. You know, I did it for a long time, but here's the secret, and I'll let it out. I hate snakes, never have liked the damn thing.
Wow.
I'm serious.
The one thing
something, you know, it was a crazy idea I came up with when I was drinking and smoking pot. There you go.
Damn. You have a quick little story of Andre the Giant.
I want to be like Kenny Stabler, you know.
So, do you have any stories about Andre the Giant and you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I wrestled Andre, oh my God, for about 5 months every night. And there were some great nights, and then there were some nights that weren't much fun at all. And one of those nights, he actually got a little intoxicated. It was his birthday. We were in Montreal, and he had a lot of friends up there. And he was in pretty rough shape. And the referee came over in the locker room and told us, Jake, it's Andre. I'm like, oh, my God, is he sick? What's wrong, you know? And his health wasn't good at the time. And he says, no, man. He says, let me explain this. He's playful. He's trying to scare the guys in the locker room. I'm like, what's he doing? It's like, well, he squats down behind people and then stands up and goes, boo. Like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And he thinks it's really funny. I'm like, oh, great. And so I went to the ring, and I'm waiting for him, and I'm waiting for him. He's not coming down the aisle. And all of a sudden, people yell, and I'll turn and look, and he had gotten people around the other side of the building. And as big as he is, tried to sneak down the ringside. Man, of course, people are seeing, but there he is, there he is. And he's like squat down behind people, and he's been yelling, go, ah, boo, and they started laughing, and it was horrifying. And then once he got in the ring, it got even worse, because he knocked me down in the corner, and he sat on me, and I turned to my side. He'd like adjusted my whole spinal column when he sat on me, man. Come back, just tap, 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 and then he starts laughing, and the referee says, Andre, why are you laughing? Because, you know, you're not supposed to laugh in the ring, you know. And he says, I'm farting. And that's when he dropped about 40 seconds of air on me. It's amazing how long a giant can fart.
For 40 seconds?
It was incredible. About 40 seconds. It wasn't nothing really shrill or anything. It was just an even flow of...
even flow?
That's, wow.
You know,
that's
for 40
disgusting.
Seconds, man.
40 seconds.
I mean, that'd be a record.
Wow.
When he got up, man, I had like a birthmark on my arm from it. You know, I don't know what the hell. It's like a wine stain, you know?
Oh,
a wine stain.
He sharded on you?
I'm sure. Silly times.
Oh, my God. All that moisture, huh?
He was trying to tap out.
It's horrible. That is
lock
horrible.
It in.
Yeah, that's a reason to tap out there, bro.
You're a soldier, Jake.
Yeah.
You know, I had a choice, so I could have got up and just paintbrushed him. And I thought, nah, I better not do that. Man, what the hell? Are you serious? The guys had bigger meals than me, you know? So,
Did you ever fight any of the wrestlers off stage?
Oh, sure. Sure. Silly stuff like that happens. It's pretty ridiculous. I know I chased down the British Bulldog a couple of times. A real ass.
Kicked his dog.
And, you know, I'll talk about it on stage, but it's pretty gruesome stuff that we did to each other. You know, there's no way you could say it was funny, but that's what we did. You know, wrestler's sense of humor is a little twisted anyway.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Not a little, a lot. But, you know, the thing is, to go out and make the fans and everybody there to show have a great time. I know we're going to because I'm going to make real sure of that. And it's, you know, it's an hour and a half show. So we'll have some good times. We'll do a little Q&A sometimes, and just depending on how I feel and how the people are reacting, and we'll go forward from there, man. But we try to hit everybody's flavor.
Hell yeah. You got any merch?
Oh, sure. We'll have T-shirts.
Awesome. Give me one,
stuff,
dude.
You know, and I tell people, I encourage them to bring their memorabilia on out, man, and I'll be glad to hook them up and sign that up for them, so, you know, makes it a little more special, I guess.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, the thing is, just take care of everybody, man. Have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time, man. Because I know that you were working on a documentary a while back. Is that still on Netflix?
Yeah, it's still on Netflix. It's gone real well, and that's, you know, it's helped a lot of people, man. And, you know, if somebody had told me 5-6 years ago, hey, you're going to do part of a documentary that's going to help people with addiction, I was like, yeah, right, because I was so dark and so far into that stuff, man. And, you know, to come out the other side is amazing. Not many people do it.
Yeah, man.
But I'm a walking, talking advertisement that you can do it, man, that you don't have to give up. But there are keys to getting sober and to staying that way. And a lot of it has to do with your support system around you. Because you've got to change your places that you hang out. You've got to change your friends, man. Sometimes you got to drop some of them, man. You just can't be a part of that scene anymore. You know, you can't wallow with pigs and not expect to smell like, you know, crap. So there you go.
Dropping knowledge.
Well, thank you, Jake. Jake will be at Flappers Sunday.
November 27th in Burbank.
You bet, man. I'm going to rock it.
And don't forget, man. He'll sign anything.
Bring your snake.
But, yeah, I've signed some pretty precious things at times.
I always thought the movie The Wrestler was based on you.
Yeah, well, take it easy on me, guys. I'm getting old, 61 years old now, and don't feel it like it at all, man.
All right, sir.
Just dig being a grandfather. In fact, I do, man. It's awesome.
Well, you have a good day, sir.
All right, you too, man. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Right.
Jake the Stick Roberts.
Right. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. The TT. What the DT?
The DDT.
DDT.
That was crazy.
Hell yeah, man. That was dope. So what's up, fool?
That was crazy, dog.
Jake the Stick Roberts, bro. You're all excited.
I was in a hardcore wrestling fan, but he
was, I was, bro. Yeah. I tried all those moves on my little sister and my brothers. It worked.
I'll be like, man, that shit's fake.
So get it back to the main man of the hour, Richard Cabral. So Father Greg appeared for acting class, and then you get nominated for a Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
I was rooting for you, bro. I was rooting for you.
Bill Murray. Damn, Bill Murray, right?
He won?
Yeah, Bill Murray won. I mean, but it's expected.
But you were up there with that.
That's the win. That's the win, bro. Yeah, that's the win
nominated,
right there.
Dog.
Bro, yeah. I'm watching that going. I'm watching him, you know, getting Best Supporting Actor. You know, being from Boyle Heights, East LA, Montebello, you know, the same, the trifecta, the tri-city area. Also, Converse, don't forget Converse. And it feels good, bro, because, you know, like, you feel like you could be up there, you know, like.
Hell yeah,
you
dude.
You know, like, you know, there's like people saying, man, they know roles for Latinos. No, bro, they know roles that you're not taking them.
That, it's a new blood in the scene, in the acting scene.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I was, like, rooting for it, and I was, like, putting his, I remember his thing that came out on the Hollywood Reporter. I had copied it, and I was putting it on other fools' pages that supposedly they're supposed to be Chicano, dog. But they didn't really promote people like from Boyle Heights or people from the hood.
They don't like going there.
No, they like promoting people who are clean, you know, who represent them better. Anyway, so I put them on all his pages, bro. Uh-huh. Yeah, man, you better root for that motherfucker, dog. He's about to take this.
Hell yeah, dude. That's fucking awesome, man.
Thank you, guys.
So you went to the Grammys? The Emmys.
Did they
invite you to the gifting?
Yeah, the gifting suite. Yeah, so I knew exactly what you were talking about.
What was that like, dog?
I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, you...
I want to get invited again, dog.
That's like a mean one, though, huh?
Yeah, bro. I mean, we got trips to the Caribbean.
Tax-free. No, just kidding.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I mean, these luxurious, like, beds and, like, the top-notch makeup and for my wife and for the kids. You know, the hoverboard that just came out, they gave a hoverboard to my kid, like... It was dope, bro. It was just like jewelry, gold. Like, that shit was crazy.
Bitching, dude.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, for us growing up, it's just like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's just something like, what do you mean? You can't, you know, you're not going to get this for free. Like, what do you want? Like, what do I have to do? Like, you know,
Yeah.
So it was just that, bro. But it's been a blessing, man.
I know, man. You start feeling like, do I deserve this?
Right. You start questioning yourself.
Then you feel that that survivor's guilt. Like, because, you know, like you see the homie not making it.
Yeah.
So you start feeling bad, eh? But you got to tell yourself, hey, I'm here because they don't want to be here.
I worked my ass off.
They don't want to be here.
I worked my ass. No one gave us nothing, bro. We worked our ass off.
Yes.
When everybody was partying, we were out here freaking working on scripts, working on writing, working on becoming
better. Podcasts.
Hell yeah, fool.
Yeah, so that's the journey right there.
But then you feel, bro, like that survivor's guilt. Oh, a bit closer.
Okay.
You start feeling that survivor's guilt, you know, because, like, all these fools are out here being losers still.
But again, dude.
Or the camera.
But like Homeboy said, dude, you guys work for that shit. It's not like you're just a fucking, it just happened, somebody grabbed you and put you there, and it's like, lights, camera, action, dog.
And then, like, they could do it too, man. If you're listening right here, you say, we're not trying to put you down, but you could do it, man. But you got to start doing it today.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Start planning it out, bro.
And that, I was going to ask you about that poem that you read. What did that turn into?
Yeah, I mean, I did a one-man show this year. You know, it was me for an hour and 15 minutes, pretty much putting out my life story out there. And we sold out right here at the Inner City Arts up in downtown. So that it was my play, bro. It was my life story, you know, in an hour and 15 minutes nonstop. So that's kind of what it turned out to, I guess.
Is that still going on?
We're going to bring it back. And it was kind of inspired. My producer, Jamie Gertz, she ended up being one of my great. Jamie Gertz
actor,
is my mentor.
Right?
My mentor. Yeah. Jamie Gertz, The Lost Boys, Twister. She found me. So she produced one of the first movies that I did, which was A Better Life, which we shot all in Boyle Heights.
Yes.
So she produced that. And through that, that's where she found me. And she ended up becoming a mentor. And now she's one of my closest friends. But she produced my play. And now the next step for it is that we're inspired by how Johnny Cash did San Quentin. You know, when he went in Folsom Blues in San Quentin. Yeah. So we're going to bring my play into Lancaster State Prison and do it live and do a documentary around that.
So that's the next.
And film it as a documentary. So that's where we're at with the play right now.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
What kind of stuff did you say did you share about your life on the play that you didn't share other places?
I think it was really in depth and to go in and to really discover why a child becomes what he becomes, why a child becomes a gang member, why a child becomes a drug addict, why a child, you know, ultimately turns into, and it's love. What the story is about is actually love. Is that I was searching for love. We're all searching for love our whole life, and we didn't get it. From or maybe our mothers and our fathers, so we searched it for somewhere else. And ultimately, searching for love in a community like ours, we search for love in gangs, we search for love in drugs, we search for love in messed up relationships. So that's kind of the gist of it.
So endless pursuit of it.
Of love. Of trying to belong, of love.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. Sometimes all I wanted to do now with a kid, bro, hang out on Clarence Street, bro. With fucking McBig Macs and chicken nugget and silent crack, bro. That was my life, dog.
Dude.
I couldn't not think, you know, I could not think past that at that time. Now I can, but I keep telling myself, why didn't I think past that? I mean, why did I just want to just sit there and sell crack for somebody else and just eat fast food?
Because that's how fools were hustling.
You just get stuck there, huh?
But you didn't know any better. Nobody to tell you.
Yeah. Felipe, you're going to do this. Here's, read this book.
And the fools that were making money in your neighborhood at that time were doing that, right?
Yeah, they didn't know any better probably either.
And their parents were doing that.
Yeah.
Somebody was hustling in that fucking former fashion, dude.
Right. It's a generational trap.
But now, bro, man, I just want to play Madden. Or follow people on Instagram like Richard Cobra, like stuff.
That fool is selling fur coats or hoodies.
So what you got going on now? In the future.
I mean, I'm working on Lethal Weapon on Fox.
That's right, Lethal Weapon, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm doing that right now.
How's that going, dude?
It's amazing, man. Just working right there with Damon and, you know, and just the whole crew right there. It's just, it hit, you know. You do all these shows, you know, but you never know which one's going to hit. And it hit. So to be on the number one show right now on Fox, it's a blessing also. And then I just wrapped season 3 of American Crime. So that comes out January, February on ABC. And every year we've been at the Emmys, so you know we're doing great work with John Ridley. So he's the creator of the show. So that's what's happening. It's promising, man. We're good right now. It's good.
He's working with Damon Wayans, bro. My first ever stand up show on Comedy Central. Damon Wayans was the host. Tell him I said what's up, bro.
Yeah.
He said from East Los Angeles, Felipe Esparza.
Wow, yeah, good man right there.
He's cool, man. Yeah, his whole family's cool.
The Wayans,
yeah.
Nah, Felipe, you funny, he told me.
Yeah.
Okay, exciting, man. I read that when you do a role, you try to add, like, you're not just playing a gangster. You know, everybody can play a gangster. You know, Emilio plays a gangster.
Right.
Danny Trejo. But they're not just, they're like, it's not that the same. And those two guys and yourself and the other dude from another show, Tucos, bro, from Breaking Bad.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raymond Cruz. You know, they're all Latino, and they're also, sometimes they all play thugs, they all play these actors, but there's something about the four-year guys that you guys bring extra to that role, man. Like, and when you talked about it, I said, that's what it is. Like, your role, on every role you do, you're playing a killer, but there's something about you, like, but I kind of like him, too. I could love this guy.
Right.
I could see where he's coming from.
Right.
You add that, huh, to your role?
And it's just that every, like, it's complicated. You know, you want to, like, the killer or the bad guy, there's a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, understanding that reason. Like, in humanity, you were, like, some people might say that you were a bad guy because you were selling crack, but you were doing that for your child. So, like, if you were put in this position, like, wouldn't you be doing it too? You know what I'm saying? This is the only means that is for survival. So, like, so it's bringing those nuances to the character to have people understand, like, there's a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know? So I think just trying to come at it from that angle time and time again.
What movie you been in?
Huh?
What movies?
I started with A Better Life was one of my first. End of Watch was a great one. People loved End of Watch.
You were the one in the van, huh?
Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Peña. Yeah, that one. Yeah, David Ayer, you know, directed, wrote David that Ayer. One. Amazing. Suicide Squad. He killed it on Suicide Squad this year. Snitch. I Marked Ones, Paranormal Activity. Did the Marked Ones. There's been a lot. The Counselor. I shot with Ridley Scott, you know, working with Ridley. That was, you know, took me to the next level. Just, it's been a lot.
End of Watch, man. That was serious, man, because I saw that movie in Canada. I was with Russell Peters, another comedian, and we went to this movie theater, bro, in Toronto, and we saw the movie, and then I saw you in the van, and then I saw the other actor that was in charge. I said, man, this is real. This is a scary-ass fucking movie, man. I know that fool from the Oil Awards. And then at the end of the movie, bro, I said, then these fools get away with it, man. That's just real, too. You know, not everybody gets caught.
Yeah.
And then the fucking, we're walking out, man. I looked at those fools and said, man, don't fuck with our lady, dog. That's the way it goes down, bro.
That shit is real.
You know, man, everything is organized.
Yeah,
and then
down, dog.
Then I started when I got back to my room. I started looking up all the actors, and then there were real good actors in that van, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the guy that was in charge, Maurice, he's not really a gangster.
Yeah, he's a Cuban.
He's Cuban, bro.
He's on Narcos right now.
Yeah, he played Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
Damn, that dude, hell yeah, dude.
And that chick, bro, that plays the fucking lesbian chola.
Yeah,
she's not even a chola. She was fucking good, man.
Yeah.
You want some big money, baby?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. That movie, man, makes you not want to go outside for a while. Yeah, man. I was going to go to Tommy's, but Tommy has Grubhub now. Just have him deliver it. Hell yeah, man. Congratulations on everything you're doing, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
I don't know. Man, what's up, Rodrigo? Any questions?
Chill, no, scared? Just the one about the one-man show, dude. That's the question I had.
Man.
That's cool, dude. Very fucking cool.
So, man, what can you tell someone out there, man, who's struggling right now? Because the holidays are always tough, yeah, huh, for a drug addict.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, fuck it, eh?
Yeah.
Another excuse to get fucked up.
Right.
How do you celebrate Thanksgiving now?
I got my beliefs about Thanksgiving, bro.
Oh, you don't celebrate it?
I don't celebrate it. You know, I don't get, but I don't push that upon anybody. You know, I just came from Standing Rock. I just came from Standing Rock.
Like, oh yeah, how was that?
It was an amazing experience to be out there and to be with the frontliners that are. And we went there to help out. You know, we gathered all kinds of donations from Los Angeles and through Homeboys, and I got a van load for the children for the winter, because when we left it was 27 degrees. And it's just dropping, and they get blizzards, they get snow, and we got food for the children and winter clothes for the children, and it's crazy, bro. Like, that shit is happening in our country right now. Like, the protesters are praying. They're praying, and they're getting blasted with rubber bullets. They're getting sprayed in the face. You know what? What OC spray? What pepper spray? And I mean, just three nights ago, they were out praying. So there's these two cars that have been burned down on a public highway. So they were trying to take away the cars. And the law enforcement at 27 degrees in the night starts blasting them with cold water. Like, that shit is happening in our country right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're not demonstrating in a violent way. They're praying, you know, and they're getting blasted. And it's like the civil rights movement all over again. That shit is crazy, you know. So, but to answer your question, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
So, where can people go to if they want to donate money for those blankets and?
I'll send that. I have the exact place to that the money will get there to the Standing Rock camp, and that'll be great if whoever could help out like that. But getting over there to really experience like what's happening, you know, and like that really took me to the next level, you know, just to really be out there on the front line at the camp, and then to be with people that were in jail and that came out and that are now fighting cases now, and they're still there, bro. Like, that shit's crazy.
And how'd you get involved with that?
I do native spirituality. I have my native. I've been on this road, on the red road, some might say, for quite some time.
Okay.
And that was kind of the link. I go and do ceremony in South Dakota in Pine Ridge Reservation. And so I felt that I needed to go out there, you know, just based on my connection with the Lakota Nation.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
They've been out there for a while, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, since some people have been out there since April.
And
yeah,
the whole thing is like, but they're not showing us on the major news.
Yeah, but there's no coverage on that. It's crazy.
That's what's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm still trying to figure out if Kanye West is all right, bro.
He's
I'm worried
be all
about
right.
him, bro.
Yeah.
His heart right now is 27 degrees. For they know that, bro, because people are more, they throw that up there, man, to like, some people
distract
say,
your
psych
ass.
You out.
Yeah.
They don't need to worry about that.
They're not doing it to psych you out, but you're psyching out yourself, dog. There's other stuff you could go read, like read a book. Nobody reads books no more, bro.
Fuck no.
That's going to be like a. You walk into somebody's house now and they have a bookcase with a bunch of books. Damn, this fool's old. We got books? You ain't got a tablet, homie?
Here's the George Washington Library.
Oh, that thing over there is my cutting board. Oh, man. So that's awesome, man. A lot of actors are out there, man. You keep it 100. Like, people say, I keep it 100. Nah, man, you really are.
Keeping it 1,000.
You have to be of service, bro. Like, you know, just yesterday I was up in Orange County at Theo Lacy Juvenile Correctional Facility. These kids were from 18, ages of 14 to 18. They're all fighting life sentences.
God damn.
You know, this is reality. This shit's happening, you know. And for me to be able, I believe that God put me in this position for a reason. I have to give back, you know what I'm saying? I'll be hurting myself if I didn't come back. Like, I could go. I could have been gone, you know, having a place wherever, you know what I'm saying, and not worry about the barrio no more. But, like, this is my life. My family still struggles. Our people are struggle, bro. So I'm going to be doing this work for the rest of my life. And again, like Father Greg, you know, if Father Greg believed in me and he gave me a chance, then how can I not pass that on?
That's what's up, dude.
Thank you, guys.
What's up? What's up, fool? Anything else you want to share with us, Richard Cabral, to our listeners?
I'm good. Thank
you. What's up, fool, Rodrigo?
I'm good, dude. Fucking awesome, dude.
You look good, man.
You too, dog.
Look at that hoodie, bro. Look at that Father Tom.
Who's Father Tom?
Bro? I don't know.
I thought of another
Tom. You look at that dude like from Robin Hood, bro. The one that fight with sticks. One with merry men. This. You're a merry yeah man. You're Little John, bro.
Little John.
What's up, Food Podcast? Don't forget, people, I'm going to be at Harlow's in Sacramento with
Rodrigo.
Toby Hicks. That fool wouldn't hang over the 27 degrees.
Huh? The little fingers. December.
Yeah, man. So you want to help out, man? We're going to put up the link later on when he gives it to us. So you want to send him some San Marcos blankets out there. What's up, fool? Thank you very much to Richard Cabral. Check out his shows, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Shiny, dog. What's up, fool?